A question about using furring strips on basement walls, and the Handy Guys discuss mistakes made when finishing your basement, up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Welcome to Handy Guys, episode number 49 of our podcast here in southeastern Pennsylvania, but broadcast to the world. We have listeners from every continent, nation and tribe, and we hope that...
nation and tribe. I don't know about the tribal.
Well, whether you're a Tootsie or a Hutu, we hope that we help you with your Handy Guy needs, or Handy Gal, or Chief, or Medicine Man needs. I don't know what. All right. So if you want to contact us about some of the issues or questions you may have, we've been getting some good questions. Please keep them coming. Send us an email at us@handyguyspodcast.com.
Or you could always use the contact form on our website at www.handyguyspodcast.com. And you can always call us as well, 615-676-0877.
Yeah, our voicemail line, which, you know, it gives you a beep, and you can leave a voicemail, you can leave us a question, and it's been kind of lonely lately. We're not getting too much.
You know, our research has shown a lot of people are listening to this, and, you know, while they're in the car on the way to work or on the way home, or, you know, on the train, if you take the train commute to work or whatever. So just pick up your cell phone and call us. Again, it's 615-676-0877.
It's time for listener questions with the Handy Guy.
All right, and Brian, you know, today we want to first deal with a question we got from a user. It's a good question, and I've heard it before. I don't know if it was a one that we got and didn't use, or we just read it somewhere. Maybe we just dealt with it when we talked about our basement show. But one of our popular series that we did last year was the basement finishing series.
Right.
We apologize beforehand to our listeners that are in Florida and Arizona where they don't have basements, but a lot of people do. And some of the issues that when we talk about finishing a basement apply to other areas of the home. So it's applicable. But we got a good question. Why don't you go ahead and read it? Who was it from?
It was from Mike.
Mike
wrote us and said, hey guys, I have recently found your show and I appreciate your knowledge and help. I figured as a new homeowner who likes to constantly improve his house, I would try to get your opinion on a project I'm thinking of taking on during the cold season here in New England. We're thinking about finishing a portion of our basement for a rec/bar room. After doing some research on how to refinish, I've read about the traditional way of framing walls using rolled insulation and drywall. There's another method of using furring strips attached directly to the foundation and foam board for insulation. I was wondering if you had any comments on either method or why I would want to stay away from either method. Between these two, I've been planning on framing everything out. However, the simplicity and lower cost of furring strips is attractive. This comes with some disadvantages, attaching directly to the foundation, for example. With building with frames, I would have to rerun the forced water baseboards, which is a little more complicated. Overall, my basement's very dry. There's one crack, and it's been professionally sealed with epoxy injection. The house is almost 8 years old and already has cables and outlets run. Thanks for the help if you get to me. Well, Mike, we get to everybody. We don't use the questions always on the air, but we do respond to every question we get, and we're going to use your question on the air today, obviously.
And Mike, you know, you have an interesting situation, and in that you have an unfinished basement, but they've done some things to make it kind of quasi-finished. They ran some baseboard heat, it sounds like, and they ran some surface-mounted electrical, he explained to me in an email. So there's some electrical. Usually in a basement, there's just nothing. You know, you'll have a few lights to light your way, and that's it.
A couple of bare bulbs hanging from the ceiling.
So because they've run some things, electrical and baseboard, you know, I have another piece of advice, which I didn't give you in the email, which I'll give you now, and that is just talk to other folks in your area and find out what they generally do with the already installed, you know, heating and electric.
That's a good point. If you're in a neighborhood and that was standard practice, purpose for finishing when they built your house, for finishing the basement that way, then other people may have dealt with this as well.
Right. And there's often different practices in different areas. But here's our, you know, Brian and I are both kind of in agreement that we're both not, we are, neither of us are fans of running furring strips right on your foundation walls. And what we mean by that is generally what people will do is what they'll run 2x3s or 2x4s attached directly to,
or even 1x.
Or, I mean, 1x.
They're little,
yep,
little thin strips, right?
Yeah, I've seen those as well. The real thin strips, you just attach them directly to the foundation wall, and then you attach, well, in the old days it would be paneling sometimes, or in nowadays would be your drywall sheetrock right to that.
Right. And so, and you in have between a nail those furring strips, he was mentioning putting right some foam insulation. And if yep it's a 1-inch furring strip, they've got 1-inch foam. You cut it to fit in between.
Right. So why don't I just go through some of the responses, the response I gave to him with the problems with it. One is it can cause some difficulty in running your electrical.
That's right.
You don't have enough space there for your electrical boxes. Some of the boxes need to be 2 or 3 inches deep.
That's right. I don't know how you get a standard size electric box unless you're using a really thick furring strip. Even then, I don't know how you'd get it in there.
The other problem is you cannot insulate properly and get good insulation with just an inch thick. You're only going to get, what, 2 or 3 R value, 4 R value maybe.
Right. And even if you can go with, let's say you did a 2x4 on the flat and you got an inch and a half of insulation, and maybe you can get an R9 or something like that in there, I don't know, then that's still not enough, especially up in New England.
Yeah, I know you need a minimum of R9 in a lot of areas, and I don't know if you can get that. The other problem is, and you brought this out, Brian, when we were discussing this, that if the walls are not plumb or square, the foundation walls, now your interior walls are not going to be plumb or square unless you try to, you know, mess around with your furring strips and try to square each one.
Try to shim them out.
And yeah, it would
be. What a pain in the neck that would be. Because remember, the guys who poured the foundation, assuming it's a concrete pour, they just used forms that they slapped up, and yeah, they put a level on them and so forth. But if you put a string down that wall, I guarantee you it's not perfectly straight. You might be straighter if you had a block foundation, because those brick layers or block layers are going to spend a little more time perhaps than the concrete guys. But they're building it to hold the house up. They're not building it to provide a nice, smooth, finished wall.
And the last reason I gave is that if you have any moisture on those walls that gets through those walls, it then gets wicked up by the furring strips because they're making direct contact with the wall. And now you have potential mold issues. You now have wood that is moist. And what likes moist wood?
Termites.
Yeah. So the termites get in there either through the sill or something. It could draw them in and they just go after those furring strips. Once they're into there, then it's just a real mess. I actually helped someone tear out an old basement where they had, I believe it was paneling, or maybe it was some sort of sheet rock wall. And once we pulled that off, the furring strips, wasn't much left. Most of them just crumbled off because the termites had gone after them. So there's that issue. I would check with your local building inspector. Like we said before, you know, maybe there's some different practices in your areas and different things you can do. But the insulation is a big one. When we had Roger German on, who is the author of the basement finishing book, he mentioned about how much heat loss actually occurs in a basement, and it was kind of startling. And you can actually really save a lot of heat by insulating your basement. You don't really think about that because it's the roof that you lose most of your heat, but
right,
you know, you could actually help out a lot by insulating your basement. So those are just some issues we brought up, and certainly ask around. The local area is always a good way to find out about what other people are doing. But thanks for the question, Mike. Up next on the Handy Guys, though, we're going to talk about mistakes people make.
Right. Mike's not making a mistake. He contacted us first, but we're going to talk about some common mistakes.
Common mistakes people do make when going to finish their basement.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com?
All right, Brian and I are back, and we have independently put together our own separate little list of issues where we think people have made mistakes, areas where people have made mistakes when finishing their basement or planning to finish their basement.
I just thought of a new one for my list.
Write it down. We have not discussed these before the show. This is unrehearsed, And we thought it would be fun to go through some issues and areas that people, you know, sometimes stumble on when finishing their basement. So how many do you got there, Brian?
Oh, I don't know, about seven.
That's what I have. All right, I'll go first.
All right, well, why don't we go back and forth?
Right, I'll go first with my first one, then you can, yeah, that's what I meant, right. Back and forth. Here.
Right.
Work with me.
I'm working.
All right, I'm looking. Oh, here it is. Okay, so here's an obvious one, Brian, and that is that you begin to finish a basement that is not ready to be finished. It's already got problems. It's got mold, moisture. You don't deal. In other words, our very first episode was to make sure that your basement is a candidate to finish.
That's right.
And so you start finishing a basement that's not a candidate. What are some reasons? You know, could it not be a candidate?
Right.
You got moisture issues, you have foundation problems, you have
headroom
cracks,
issues.
Headroom, yeah, you have a dirt floor.
Right.
I mean, there are all kinds of reasons, but your basement is simply not a good candidate. So that's my first thing, the first mistake people make when trying to finish a basement.
Okay, so listen to that episode about is your basement a good candidate, and we go into that in great amount of detail on that show. And if you have any questions, you can always contact us, right? If you say, oh, you know, do I need to deal with this or can I work around it? And we'll help you out. All right. That was on my list. So now I'm down to six. All right. Common basement mistakes. My first one, not enough heating or cooling. So people want to tap into their existing furnace and, you know, just extend some ducts down, but they don't do the math and the calculations to see if they've actually got enough capacity in their current system. And now they've got a cold basement. They can't heat it. And so they're out of luck.
That's me, Brian. You know, actually, I did do the planning, and I do have the correct amount of BTUs, but the fact is you cannot force a forced air, hot air system to heat the basement. It's just too difficult. Books will show you that you can do it, but it just does not work. You usually need some other supplemental heat.
Yeah, because it's hard to make heat go down.
Right.
Right? And get into that basement when you're dealing with a cold floor, something like that. So
just piggyback another one with that, and that's just not having the proper electrical sizing. You have 100 amp service or something, you don't even have open breakers, and you want to, you know, add.
Was that on your list?
800 square foot. Well, I added it, as you said, HVAC, okay. But it goes along with that. It's just not having enough electrical in the house.
So what's HVAC stand for? We keep using that term.
Maybe. Heating, venting, and air conditioning, right?
That's right. So that's what we mean by HVAC.
Okay, so HVAC, electrical, so utilities. Just make sure your utilities are sized for the additional space. You may be adding, a third of the space of your whole house. You need to make sure you have enough utilities to provide for that space.
That's right.
Okay, I kind of cheated there. I kind of added that in.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Here's one, a mistake, and that is assuming that drop ceilings are cheaper than sheetrock.
That's a great one.
And that is, a lot of people assume that a drop ceiling, you just see them in so many basements, you assume it's cheaper. The fact is, when you price it out, it is usually cheaper to put drywall in, even if you have someone install it for you.
That's right.
Than to install the drop ceiling yourself.
Right. Well, we talked about, the pros and cons of one versus the other. Let's get into that just for a real quick moment here. You know, someone says, well, what if I got to get to a pipe?
Right.
Right. Or get to a electric wire or something like that. Well, what do you do on your first floor or your second floor of your house if you need to get to a pipe or a wire?
Right.
You cut into the drywall.
You don't.
Right? Or you fish it or whatever.
Sure.
And the same thing in your basement. Well, isn't that going to make it more expensive? You could re-drywall your entire ceiling four times and still be cheaper than drop ceiling.
If you do it yourself. Yeah, but but I found even if I contracted out the drywall, it was cheaper than to get a decent drop ceiling. The other problems with drop ceiling are, the style that you use, you can't get in 5 years at when you had a water leak and you need to replace, or that they're starting to stain or sag and you need more panels.
Right. And you can't get one to match. Even they're the same style, they don't match up right.
Now, there is some advantages to the drop ceiling, and that's they usually do better with sound insulation.
That's right, because you've decoupled the ceiling from the joists above, and it does help with sound. You're right.
All right, what else do you got there, Brian?
Okay, not knowing your skill limits.
Good one.
So, you jump into the project, you listen to the Handy Guys podcast series on finishing your basement, you say, I can do that, and you don't know when to stop. You don't know when you're in over your head. And something turns out bad, either doesn't look right, was done incorrectly, or it's just shoddy. So know your limits, know when to stop, know when to call in the pros.
Yeah, Roger German, the basement guy we had on, told us many times he's had to come in to rescue
right,
a homeowner who tried to do it himself.
Yeah.
Along with that, Brian, is just underestimating your costs. So you can underestimate your skill or overestimate your skill, and you can underestimate the actual cost. You know, things add up quickly, and you want to make sure you have the budget to handle it. You know, lights are expensive. You know, drywall isn't that expensive, but carpeting is. And drywall can add up along with all the screws and nails you need and the new nail gun you need to, if you're doing it yourself, and the doors and the hardware in the door. So there's just a lot of little things that add up. There's no one thing that will break the bank, but all of them together.
When I was looking to put the gas fireplace in my basement, oh, that's great. The gas fireplace is only, I don't know, it was $1,800. Dollars or something like that, but then it was another $1,200 for the stainless steel, you know, B vent piping, whatever they call it, and you know, all of that. It was ridiculous, you know. So it things do add up.
And you also had to get your master's plumber license just to install it and get the parts,
all of that kind of stuff, right?
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, so what else you got there? Oh, yeah,
Go ahead. Your turn. Is it my turn? Yeah. All right. Bad switch locations for your lighting.
Yeah, some of these mistakes we've made. That was one Brian did, and I also have one on my list.
Right. So bad switch locations. What I wish I would have done, Paul, is put a master set of switches at the top of the stairs to turn all the lights out in the basement, because the kids are forever leaving a light on. You got to go down the basement to turn it off. I do have the switch at the top of the stairs to turn on the lights at the top and bottom of the stairs, and you can operate it at either end of the basement. But for the rest of the lighting, I just have switches in the basement, and I wish I would have done the wiring in such a way I could turn them all off from the top of the steps. Would it be really handy?
Another one I have is not insulating properly. You know, Brian, it's interesting. No insulation has some value.
It does.
Right? Like, you don't have to worry as much about the mold and mildew because you're not going to have the bats trapping moisture behind the drywall, airflow freer.
It's not the bats as much as it is the vapor
barrier. The vapor barrier. Yeah, right. That's killer.
And that traps moisture. And you don't want to create a situation where you've got the ability to trap moisture in your wall. So there's a lot of new techniques. We talked about those in previous shows to minimize or eliminate that.
Right. So while no insulation has some value, proper insulation has more value because you're going to not only prevent heat loss, and the basement, you know, is a little bit difficult to heat because it's underground, but also if you do it properly, you won't have the mold and mildew issues. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out on the internet you can research. Roger German is updating his book. I think he's going to have the new information about using, XPS? Extruded right. polyester, no.
Extruded polystyrene.
Thank you. XPS. Extruded polystyrene along with fiberglass. You know, if you can have some space in there, it's also helpful. But the point is, you don't want the moisture to penetrate into the fiberglass itself and right. allow it to create some mold issues. So proper insulation, a lot of homeowners don't, you know, evaluate that
mm-hmm.
in the beginning. In the old days, they didn't even insulate the basement. All right. What else do you got there, Brian?
All right. This was related to my bad switch locations, and it's just not planning ahead for electrical outlet locations, TV, phone, speakers, you know, those kind of things. I know when I finished my basement, I thought I was going to put the TV in one spot, ended up putting it in a different spot, and had to extend some wires around to another part of the wall. So plan that out, give it a lot of thought ahead of time, and make sure you get the cable jack and the phone jack and whatever else you need where you want it the first time.
This goes along with one of the issues you brought up earlier, and that is in overestimating your ability. One of the areas that I think that some make mistakes is that you can do it all. In other words, don't be afraid to sub out certain areas of the basement project. For instance, drywall. You have drywallers out there. That's all they do. They can do a really good job, and they can do it fast.
That's right.
So it doesn't hurt to sub out certain portions of the basement, and you can do a great job, you know, and still save a lot right. of money by doing 80% of it as opposed to 100%.
Right. I know. You know, some people want to say, you know what? I did every single aspect of it, and it's a pride thing, and it's a challenge. It's like someone else climbing Mount Everest or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I talked to someone one time who was doing it on the cheap and doing everything themselves, and I suggested they hire the drywall out because she was actually putting in the drywall screws with a screwdriver. Okay.
Nice.
I don't know if she listens to our show, but don't take that as any offense. She didn't have the budget to go get a drill or a cordless screwdriver or whatever. And it took her almost a year to put the drywall in.
That takes some determination.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I hired mine out and they had the drywall all up, they hadn't, you know, done all the joints yet with the compound, but they had the drywall all up in one day. And it was like, wow, half a day, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think mine was about 4 or 5 hours when the drywall guys did mine.
My back was very happy for that. So, okay. Up next, we're going to have our last couple observations on mistakes homeowners may make.
Don't you have any more questions or any more basement mistakes?
Yeah. He said up next.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have our final basement mistakes observations that Brian and I have made.
Getting that honey-do list complete with the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, we're back. And Brian, you've already used up most of mine. I just have one last observation.
I got two more, so let me go next, and then you go, and then I'll go.
All right.
So, common basement mistake. Most basements have your utilities in them, your furnace, your hot water heater, right? And those things... quite often burn gas or propane, and people build a room around those and now there's no air for combustion
air,
and
those
appliances get starved for oxygen. You get high carbon monoxide levels in those little closets that you create and so forth. They don't operate properly, and you have all kinds of problems.
Go back and listen to our basement series, but most newer codes require you need to make sure you can spec out the proper cubic amount of feet of combustible air. If you have a furnace or something like that in an enclosed space, you need to have a vent within a foot of the floor and within the foot of the ceiling, and it has to be at least like a square inch for every 1,000 BTUs that you're
using. Something like that,
So there's a formula. That's not necessarily the formula. You need to look it up with your local, whatever code that your local
Right, and also the recommendation uses from the manufacturer of whatever that appliance is. I know in my case, my furnace actually is a sealed unit and uses combustion air from the outside. It has a separate intake directly.
Right.
So that didn't
it's a direct
have,
vent.
Right. So that didn't have any specific combustion requirements for the room where that was installed, but my hot water heater did. And so the manufacturer there provided me with how many cubic inches of vent space and recommendations from the floor and the ceiling and so forth, and that jived with the code requirements.
Okay, not using pressure-treated wood. You need to make sure you use pressure-treated wood around the...
That's right. Wherever you have wood in contact with concrete,
it
should be pressure-treated.
You don't want it to wick up moisture again. You don't want to have issues with the pests and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And finally, what is your last observation there, Brian?
When you're doing your planning, you chop the space up too much.
Mm.
People say, oh, I got this big open space. I'm going to put a bedroom. I'm going to put a bathroom. I'm going to put a kitchen. I'm going to put a... three closets and and then a bar and a this and a that, and and they fit all this stuff in there. And now, you had a big open space and now you've got lots of little teeny spaces, and it becomes awkward and it doesn't really flow well.
Besides that, you often, have these grandiose ideas of how you'll use all those little rooms. Like, I'm going to put in a sewing room and a flower room, and and then you don't use them. So it just becomes wasted space, where if you just put all that space in the big room, you tend to use it more.
That's right.
That's what I did. I actually got that one right, I think, on my basement.
Right. I thought I got it right, right? I said, okay, I'm just going to frame up, finish the exterior walls. I build out our studio in here, and then the other, everything else is kind of all open. But I just checked out a basement that was finished recently. It was done by a professional contractor, and it was chopped up a little bit. But they had a workout room, they had a playroom, they had a family den, a kitchen, a powder room, and a storage area. It's a pretty big basement. And I'll tell you, it worked really well.
Hmm.
So think out your design, how you're going to use the space.
When do you use a kitchen in the basement?
My first question, but this was my brother-in-law and my sister. They had their basement finished, and it came out great. And they have a full kitchen. They don't have a dishwasher or an oven, but they've got a full refrigerator. They've got an island. They've got a sink.
Wow.
And the island's great because they got a couple of stools there. They put, get pizzas, put them out for the kids watching the movies in kind of the den area and all that.
Do they have switches for all the lights at the top of the steps?
I didn't check. I didn't check.
We want to make sure they have. Now, I have my switches at the top of the steps, but one of the lights, you can barely see if it's on from the top of the steps. But, if you get it right, you can flip it. And
there you go.
There's a dimmer on it, so you hope they haven't dimmed it. All right. Well, those are the mistakes that we could think up of. Think up of? Is that a word? Those are the mistakes that the handy guys could think of. If you have some better mistakes, if you've come up with some better ones,
Well, I'm sure there's disasters and horror stories and all of that, and that wasn't the intent of this.
No, just these episode. Are the basic mistakes people make in planning and building their basements. So let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Just place a comment right on our post. And otherwise, we'll be back next week with some new handy guys ideas and issues. See you then.
Bye.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.